What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Now, down in Virginia, over in Virginia, Democrat and Republican gubernatorial candidates had their final debate last night, with Democrat and former Governor Terry McAuliffe declaring that parents should not have a say in what their kids are taught in public schools. Now, just think about that for a minute. Terry McAuliffe is saying parents should not have a say in what their kids are taught in public schools. Well, those parents are paying for those public schools with their taxes. And it is their kids, and I think parents should have a say. But this is a, you know, obviously part of this whole New World Order. We're going to teach the kids about drag queen story hour and LGBTQ and the correct pronouns and, you know, forget about it if they can't read, write, or do complex mathematics here. And, you know, they were at one point in the debate, they were talking about protections for transgender students. Should that be determined at the state or local level? And McAuliffe referenced a recent incident where a parent complained that two books available to high school students contained graphic sexual content and pedophilia. Now, the school district did remove the books, but they're reviewing them. They could conceivably put them back into the library. And McAuliffe said, I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books off and make their own decisions. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I think it's really more of an issue of parents wanting to tell schools what not to teach, like, you know, hating white people and hating America and, hating our history. I don't think most parents really want that. But for McAuliffe to come on out and say, I mean, that's absolute pure dictatorship. You know, we will decide what your children are going to know and think, and you don't have anything to say about it, even though you're paying all the bills. Okay. Out at UCLA, there is a professor, Gordon Klein, and it was an interesting thing. UCLA basically put out a policy saying that black students should be graded more leniently on their exams than white people, okay? Because we know how unfair education is, how unfair it is to white, to black students and so forth. Professor Klein refused to do that. He was then suspended, and he's been subject to an incredible media smear for refusing preferential exam treatment for black students. And he's apparently considering a lawsuit. This is not the first time this has happened. This has happened to St. Joseph's math professor Gregory Manco, Harvard Law professor Adrian Vermeule, Cornell chemistry professor David Collum, UCF psychology professor Charles Negi, and a whole bunch of others. This is happening all over the country. We're going to cut the black students some slack. Because that is the only way that we can say we are all equal is to drag the top down to match the bottom. Western Washington University has introduced a designated housing area exclusively for black students. And there is a word for this. It is called segregation. And I do believe there are actually laws against that. But we're seeing this anti-white reverse racism going on where, you know, black people want white people to just go away. And it's a whites-only zone, and you go over there. We were talking, I think it was last week, about these black students who chased two white students out of a college's multicultural center, saying, you know, you can't be here because you're white. Whites don't have any culture. And really just behaved in a very, very rude and what I consider inappropriate fashion here. Getting into the realm of computers and such, Apple has rolled out the latest version of their iPhone and iPad and iWatch operating systems. This is iOS 15. And I've downloaded a lot of hip new features. One of the features that is not there is what's called the CSAM detection technology. Now, Apple announced this a month ago, and this was a system that would scan the photos on your iPhone and try and determine if any of them portrayed children in sexual situations, and if it did, would report it to the authorities. And this prompted all kinds of pushback from privacy advocates. And don't get me wrong, I think child sexual exploitation is one of the worst things in the human nature. But the idea is once Apple, which, by the way, Apple prides itself normally on the privacy of its phones and tablets and so forth. But once they have that ability to scan your iPhone, the potential for abuse is definitely there. They could scan for other things. They could scan your contact list, your text messages, looking for, you know, phishing expedition. All of this a violation, clearly, of the Fourth Amendment. Well, Apple decided to delay the implementation. They haven't canceled it, but they're holding off until the public outcry cools down a bit. Anyway, we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. Now, tomorrow and Friday, there is an issue. Internet connectivity for old devices may stop on Thursday. There is a digital certificate widely used in electronic devices prior to 2017 that will expire on the 30th. And devices that could run into trouble include older MacBooks and iPhones that haven't or can't be updated with the latest software, some gaming consoles like PlayStation 3 and Nintendo 3DS, as well as certain smart TVs, set-top boxes, and Internet of Things devices within your home. Anything that requires a secure connection to a server could stop working. And streaming platforms like Netflix, Stan, Binge, and 7 Plus require users to have a secure connection. And it may also affect any website that requires a user to log in, such as email, inboxes, and banking sites. Now, my website, whatreallyhappened.com, has an up-to-date security certificate. And this whole certificate business has not stopped the cyber criminals. It's just made life harder for us end users. And we often talk about planned obsolescence, and these security certificates are a perfect way to implement that. They don't have to carefully engineer the devices to fail after so many years of use. When the security certificate expires, the device simply stops working, and you are then forced to go buy a new device, something that is not easy to do in the current economy. Okay. A lot of companies, and this article focuses on Samsung, they're working on something called neuromorphic engineering, in which they're trying to duplicate the neuron connectivity of a brain and copy it onto a system of memory networks. And other companies like Intel and IBM are working on this. The core idea is to somehow mimic the activity of neurons, which are now known to have internal processing capability. They're not just wire connections. And employ it on computing chips for improved performance and energy efficiency. Anyway. Alrighty. Remember the global warming hoax, human-caused global warming? And one of their pet claims was that the Great Barrier Reef was going to be destroyed by warmer ocean waters. Wrong again. It turns out marine physicist Peter Ridd was taken to task for daring to question anthropogenic global warming's impact on the Great Barrier Reef because there is a record high coral growth all across that reef right now. Apparently, coral likes the water a little bit warmer. Remember when they were talking about drowning polar bears? And then some wise ass over at a website pointed out polar bears float. and they can swim for like 60 miles. Okay. Here's an interesting and kind of funny story. And we do have open phone lines, 512-248-8252, unless maybe we didn't pay our phone bill this month. NASA is looking for a replacement for the Astro Van that once moved shuttle astronauts from the crew quarters to the launch pad for the flight. And NASA wants to replace that because it is aging. And Oscar Mayer, the meat company, offered NASA one of their Wienermobiles. And I don't think NASA will accept, but it was a very clever marketing ploy by Oscar Mayer. If you ever study advertising, Oscar Mayer comes up a lot because their success is not really based on the quality of their product. It's a good product, but that wasn't it. They broke a lot of new ground in advertising, including the Wienermobiles. The song, you know, I Wish I Was an Oscar Mayer Wiener, that hadn't been done before for a meat company. And it basically took this very small meat processing company into a major national economic asset here. Okay, getting on back to NASA. In 2014, NASA awarded two multi-billion dollar contracts to Boeing and SpaceX, commissioning them to each build a spaceship system to transport U.S. astronauts to the International Space Station. This was intended to end NASA's sole reliance on Russia to get their astronauts to and from the ISS. And the two companies are essentially building the same project, but for dramatically different price tags. And for some reason, NASA has gone with Boeing, which is going to cost $2 billion more than SpaceX for the exact same capability. And SpaceX has already demonstrated a capability of getting astronauts to and from the ISS. Boeing is still kind of waiting for that. Okay, open phone lines, 512-248-8252. Reminding me of an old Bob Newhart comedy bit where he's a talk radio host and nobody calls on in. And so he sits up and says, "Dead burnt babies, I'm for them." Trying to get somebody to call on in here. On a more serious note, up at the space station, which is 20 years old, you know, let's be very honest, it's definitely out of warranty here. There are cracks starting to appear on the space station. And retired NASA astronaut Bill Shepard says this is a fairly serious issue. Now, the Russian cosmonauts spotted the cracks on the station's Zarya module. And after that, Vladimir Solovyov, the flight director of the Russian segment of ISS, publicly revealed the discovery last August. Now, the cracks don't pose a danger to the astronauts at this time. The agency told Insider last month nobody had identified new potential leak sites. But in a House committee hearing yesterday, Shepard told congressional representatives, there are probably other cracks we haven't found yet. And that would be a reasonable presumption to make here. And he said, as far as I know, the Russian engineers and the NASA engineers, they've analyzed it. They don't exactly understand why these cracks are appearing now. I am going to take a wild guess, not having been there and not having seen the cracks here, that we're dealing with metal fatigue due to the constant exposure to the solar wind. Now, one of the interesting experiments the shuttle carried into orbit was called the LDAP, or the Long Duration Exposure Facility, and it was basically this octagonal frame, and it was you know, partitioned off, and each of the little resulting panels had a different material being tested for how it was going to respond to a long period exposure in space. It also carried a whole bunch of tomato seeds, which proved to be a lot of fun after the fact here. Now, due to the Challenger disaster, LDEF stayed up there a lot longer than was planned for, and by the time they got it back down, many of the panels were totally empty. The samples inside them had been totally eroded away by the space environment. And again, the space station is 20 years old, and it's in that environment where there are huge temperature differences between the lit side and the dark side, and that is going to create a high degree of thermal stress. And I think those two things acting together may explain why cracks are showing up in the space station. Recently, SpaceX had their all-tourist space flight, the Inspiration 4, and it turned out there was one rather alarming moment during the flight. Now, the crew, even though civilian, had been trained to do what they needed to do inside the capsule, and everybody was wondering what the alarm was for, what was going on, and, you know, were they in trouble. It turned out the problem was the toilet. Because like the space shuttle, the SpaceX Crew Dragon has a very specialized toilet because in space, you know, going to the bathroom isn't like here on Earth where everything goes the direction you need it to go. There's no gravity. There's no feeling of gravity. And what comes out could often fly in every possible direction. So they have this complex machine to serve as a waste disposal unit, and it suffered a minor malfunction triggering the alarm. But I imagine there was a moment of panic there. Getting on out to my favorite planet outside of Earth, that being Mars, which, by the way, is now in conjunction with the Sun. And so all the spacecraft operating on Mars are going to be out of touch with Earth in the coming weeks. Many of them are just going to sit. Many of them have been programmed with automated testing and science they can do on their own, which will report the results back when they're back in contact with Earth. Anyway, there is this scientist, Sarah Stewart Johnson, and she is out there talking about exobiology on Mars and describes it as the search for life as we don't know it. And this is a very a topic close to my heart, because there is a certain species chauvinism or biology chauvinism in our search for extraterrestrial life. We're always trying to find the same chemicals that we have here on Earth on other astronomical bodies. It may not. Life evolving in a different environment is probably going to be completely different, may even be unrecognizable. So this Sarah Stewart Johnson is basically trying to broaden the minds of those exobiologists, saying we may find life on Mars, but it won't be anything like we have on Earth. For that matter, we may find life on Enceladus and Titan that will definitely not be anything like we have here on Earth. And, Mars, is a rough place to study. Giovanni Schiaparelli's canals. Carl Sagan had his macroorganisms theory, and then there was the Martian bacteria in the meteorites, which is still kind of open to debate. And and she talks about all these careers broken on the rocks of Mars, Martian obstinacy. Well, I think that might include eventually NASA itself, because the evidence we found during Viking was there was indigenous microbial life, and NASA said, no, we're going to play it safe and say no, and these new rovers may prove to be an embarrassment. All right, got to take a break. Commercials, 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war, who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? A preacher man wags his head.
Welcome back to our show here, and we have open phone lines, 512-248-8252, and the phones are working because we do have a caller. Kelly in Austin, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was interested to hear your comments about Mars and about the Viking lander mission, and I'm curious whether you could elaborate a bit on what you saw that indicated that there was life on Mars.
Okay, well, the gentleman in question was Dr. Gilbert Levin, who unfortunately just recently passed away. And there were actually two experiments on Viking to detect life. And the first one, designed by Dr. Levin, was the labeled release experiment. And this was not blue sky technology. What he did is he took a system that was already being used on Earth to check civil water systems for biological contamination. And all they did is they took a sample of the water, they put in a nutrient solution tagged with radioactive carbon, and then they had a radiation detector above the little tank. If there were microbes, they would absorb the carbon, they would then burp or other such processes, and the carbon would bubble up and be detected by the radiation detector. And this is a technology that's used all over the world. And Gilbert Levin simply adapted it to work in the Martian environment using soil instead of water. This experiment showed a positive result. It matched exactly the predictions of what we would see if there were microbes in the Martian soil. Now, the second experiment was the gas chromatograph mass spectrometer, or the GCMS for short. This was a specialized mass spectrometer looking for organic molecules. Now, in a normal mass spectrometer, you heat a sample to the point where the elements all break apart independently. Then they're sent accelerated down past a magnet, which spreads them out to a detector, which says you've got so much sulfur, so much chromium, so much copper, and the rest of it. This device was designed to simply separate, you know, break molecules out of the soil matrix and send them down to a detector that was looking for certain organic molecules. Now, this experiment produced a negative result. So we had one positive and one negative. NASA wanted to go the safe political route, because there was a lot of pressure coming from certain politicians and religious groups that there couldn't possibly be life on Mars. And years later, with other spacecraft on Mars, it was discovered that the Martian soil contained a high amount of perchlorates. And perchlorates, when they are heated, will decompose organic molecules. And so the GCMS, by the way it was designed, could never have produced a positive result from that Martian soil. And other scientists from around the world have looked at this information, and they are convinced that the Vikings did find indigenous microbial life. But the NASA version is still the official version. And the problem it has created is that subsequent landers and rovers on Mars were not sterilized to the same high degree that Viking was, on the assumption that, hey, you know, the place is dead anyway. And so if they do find life on Mars now, they're going to have to go through the process of making sure that it is indigenous to Mars and not something that rode one of these spacecraft to Mars onto Mars, yeah, on the spacecraft. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they were looking specifically for, say, carbon-based, something carbon-based. You mentioned organic. And I think you said it's organic geochemistry, so I know what you're looking at.
The presumption was that the Martian environment was close enough to Earth that the biochemistry would be the same, and I would suggest that the positive result received by the labeled release experiment would support that conclusion, that the life is carbon-based and very, very similar to what we have here on Earth.
Yeah, and I'd make that assumption, too. I'm looking at this purely as a geochemist, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, you have the periodic table, and I think everywhere in the universe you'll find the same elements, perhaps at different abundances.
Agreed.
But those elements are there, and how, for example, those elements get put together in different parts of the universe to create life may vary considerably from what we know to be the case here.
I agree.
And so I wonder whether in some area of the universe that life as it exists there might not be, say, a silicon-based form of life.
That's a very popular theory among exobiologists. And, we won't know until we actually find it and say, yeah, this thing is alive. It's reproducing and, you know.
Yeah. Now, you may be interested in this. An old geology professor of mine at the University of Texas, a very famous sedimentologist, his name was Bob Folk.
Yeah.
Was very interested in that. And he got a hold of rocks that were that NASA was certain were originated from Mars and ended up here as a result, you know, of one event or another. And he was thinking that that if he could look into the rocks using
electron
microscopy. Yes.
Kelly, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold. I want to hear the rest of what you have to say, but we have to take another break for commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
Welcome back to our show here, and we are talking with Kelly in Austin. We're talking about the potential for life on Mars. And following the Apollo missions and following Viking, scientists had real good chemical and isotopic signatures for those two bodies, and were able to determine that certain meteorites found on Earth had come from those bodies. And that's why we know this meteorite is from the moon and that meteorite's from Mars. It turns out Antarctica is a great place to hunt for these objects because they readily show up against the white background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Bob, we all called him Luigi, but he was on my dissertation committee. He had samples. Samples he got from NASA, and he examined them with a scanning electron microscope, and he found what appeared to be very definite traces of fossilized microbial colonies in the rocks. Now the question is, did that occur as a result of microbial contamination after the rocks hit Earth, or were they there prior to? Prior to all of this, and he also found, in looking at limestone samples from Italy, he found the same thing. And so it's very difficult to say for sure, you know, what it was or how it occurred. But his work on that was, I think, really fascinating. And he was somebody who could really make you think. there's one other thing I want to point out here. You mentioned the Great Barrier Reef earlier.
Yes.
And the formation and the growth of the reef in warmer water. That does not surprise me. Any geochemist will be able to tell you that calcium carbonate precipitates more readily in warmer water than in colder water. That's why, for example, down here in Austin, Texas, many people end up with water heaters that are clogged with calcium carbonate deposits, because as you raise the temperature of the water, what happens is that calcium carbonate tends to precipitate. It doesn't dissolve as many other minerals do. It precipitates. So it wouldn't surprise me that in the Great Barrier Reef with warmer water, that the coralline organisms would be more active and would precipitate more calcium carbonate. Period. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that out to you. I thought you might be interested in that.
Oh, very interested in that. And, the problem is, can we identify these fossil microbes that are being found in these meteorites? Obviously, if they can be identified, then we're dealing with terrestrial contamination. But if they're completely unknown to microbiologists, mm-hmm. then we're dealing with something totally different. And any event, you know, boring into the center of the meteor, you reduce the risk of outside contamination.
Yeah, well, I can tell you from looking at Luigi's scanning electron photomicrographs, the Martian samples and the Italy samples, that it's very hard to tell a difference. I mean, you could see what might be minor differences, but it's just impossible to know. But certainly the fact that he identified that in those Martian samples, I think, is absolutely, you can't ignore that. And I'm not sure what the long-term implications of that are, but I'd like to.
Well, there have been a lot of scientists who have actually found what appear to be fossil microbes in many different kinds of meteors, and for some reason, they're more common in the carbonaceous chondrite meteorites.
The so-called chondrites, as opposed to the iron nickel, which is what I might expect, and of course Luigi was looking at. At similar things in the dolomites from carbonates from the dolomites, the Northern Alps.
So, okay.
Anyway, thanks for taking the call, Mike. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Thank you. And we have callers, so I'm going to go to Dave in New York. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. What's the worst natural disaster that occurred this year?
Well, we're being told
you know his
it was
name.
COVID.
Joe Biden.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Well, I mean, I said that after I looked at Mike Adams' Natural News today, and he's showing photos of that Biden's booster shot was done on a set. He's showing the audience of the
I've
set.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was all completely fake. The scenes out the window were fake, and, I got those photos.
Now there was a guy, I can't pull up his name at the moment here, but he had shown a lot of this stuff, and he had shown smoke going out of the ground around the White House and all kinds of strange events. If I think of his name, I'll mention it later here. But I didn't really call about that, but I thought it was so strange and funny. What we're noticing is a lot of people are saying, there's this whole cuckoofication going on. This is your word, and it's a great term. What they're doing is scientists out there, big scientists, you've got Richard Fleming, you've got Peter McCullough involved in lawsuits at The Hague regarding the generation and of this SARS-CoV-2 virus, and then you've got other people saying, oh, it wasn't isolated, so it doesn't exist. Well, and then they're coming up with some, demanding reason why it has to be isolated in a particular way. These guys are convinced themselves. They've seen the data. There's all kinds of data out there. We can start with Prashant Pradhan's article that he published in January 30th, 2020. And, the title is Uncanny Similarity of Unique Inserts in the 2019 nCoV Spike Protein to HIV-1 GP120 and GAG.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Anyway, remember that one. And what did that elicit? What did Fauci do? Because that article came out, what did he do in the middle of the night? He sent out those emergency emails. I think it was in response to this. Dr. Horowitz was saying that as well. There was in response to them finding out that this was basically a lot of good evidence that this was probably made in the lab.
Yes.
So then we have a follow-on. David Martin comes up with 73 patents for all of the inserts done over, 15, 20 years? I don't know what time period, 12 years. 73 patents for the genetic inserts to modify SARS-CoV-1 to SARS-CoV-2. So why are all these scientists saying that it exists? There's all kinds of articles on it, the sequencing. They keep finding the same sequence. They sequence Delta, which you mentioned you didn't think existed. But listen, Chris Martinson came out with a great talk on all this stuff recently as well, the bombshell talk about the SARS-CoV-2 invention, and he goes through the lineage chart, which is a circular chart. I sent this stuff to John Moore this morning because this stuff is coming out like this, and then you've got a guy in Canada going and saying, oh, Canadian government, did you isolate this? You can't prove you isolated. Well, they never claimed. Did they ever claim to have isolated it? Little Canadian government?
Well, his point was that they're out there passing all these things on this pathogen, and they were not able to establish the fact there was a pathogen. They weren't able to establish that the people who were getting sick weren't just coming down with the ordinary flu. I mean, you probably heard this amazing thing.
Yes,
we didn't have a flu season this year. We had COVID.
It's been well established that these people are not just coming down with the ordinary flu with all the different, symptoms. No, this is something very different. Whether it's caused by the SARS-CoV-2 pathogen could be debated, but all these top scientists are saying, the guy in Canada has a point. The point is you're violating our Constitution. Now, that's a valid point. But
yes.
But to go on and say that, just because you didn't isolate it and you didn't claim to isolate it, I don't see that as a good argument. I think that's a failure on the mental investigation by the people who are doing that. Look at the articles. Look at the information. Realize that these top scientists are saying things, and they must know, they might know a lot more than the common man.
The question I would ask is, who are these scientists working for? Because if they're financially tied into the National Institutes of Health or the CDC or the FDA...
Have you heard of Peter McCullough, and have you heard of Dr. Richard Fleming?
I've heard of Fleming.
He's got a lawsuit in The Hague. He's representing a lawsuit in The Hague against multiple governments on this. I don't think... he was taken before the FBI falsely accused him of false billing people to try to quell his method, the Fleming method, to image tissue, which is much cheaper than the radiological method. And so, and they came out, they couldn't find anything on him. They got somebody who worked for him, threatened them, and they made some strange testimony. There's no proof. So what did he plead? He pled that he was billing patients. That's how he got out of it. Nothing wrong with billing patients. So, these hit pieces on these people, I just see that these guys are kookifying the whole movement, and they don't realize it. I believe they don't realize it at all. But I'm trying to bring the point out. Listen, Lauren from Ohio said, Dave, I'm not calling into these shows and telling people that they really did identify this virus because I'm a host here and I can't really do that too well. But, she told me to do it. So I'm not saying... And I'm saying exactly what she would say, but I think she supports what I'm saying here.
Okay.
So this is a real problem. And people have to, like the CDC, they reduce their death numbers. Read the table three of comorbidities. It doesn't say they did that at all, and people are going around saying all this, and you were the only one who said you didn't really look at it and you didn't know, and so you were honest and you were rational, but so many others just ran with it. Makes no sense. All kinds of stuff like this. So I'm just trying to draw a little correction here, Mike, that people can, okay, you know, look and consider what the real situation is. Because we don't need to be kookified. We need to be just and right in our statements and accurate as we can be and careful.
Agreed.
Yes. And so that's all I really wanted to point out, and thank you for your time.
All right, and thank you for the call. We're going to go over to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing there, Mike? Mike, a couple of things. One is I see that, you know, they're still insisting on getting rid of some of our best soldiers now in the U.S. military with these vaccine mandates.
Yes.
I also see that they've come up with this NDAA again, and they even agreed to, you know, compromise with the Democrats, including, unfortunately, my own congressman, who's, you know, I think one of the young tigers now. So the trouble is they're worried about the military effectiveness. But how effective is that military going to be without its best soldiers? All right? And the thing is the Republicans should do is do not fund this military until this mandate stops, period. No questions asked. That should be the one thing. The congressman said that he thinks that he wants to make sure they get honorable discharges. No, you don't make sure they get honorable discharges. Make sure they're not discharged, period. These are the best of the best.
Actually, the last I heard is they want military who refuse the vaccine to be dishonorably discharged.
Yeah, I know. He says okay. He's trying to stop that from happening to get them honorable discharge. But you know, I'm gonna try to call him tomorrow. I'm gonna try to get through tomorrow. Congressman Cawthorn of North Carolina. He's basically good, but I think he's a little misinformed. The way to stop this is you don't compromise. You say no. You do not. We will not authorize any kind of a military budget if you don't. Okay. We might as well not have a military budget anyway right now, as with the messed up. You know, excuse for military we have, and that brings me to that other point. I see they're jerking around there now in, Serbia and Kosovo, right?
Yes.
Threatening the Serbs if they take Kosovo back and, you know, which is really part of Serbia and all that, you know, well, NATO, they say, hey, but who's most of NATO? We shouldn't be messing around there, period. None of our business. I'm going to side with the Serbs anyway. I think the Serbs are, you know, the Serbs are wrong from the get-go. But besides that, we don't belong here. It's none of our business. But can you imagine sending this so-called woke, they're not really woke, I call red pill people woke, but this so-called woke military over there? Serbs are tough. At this time, I understand Putin's already getting involved, and China's also backing up Serbia. And at the very least, this time they'll have weapons to shoot planes that NATO won't just be able to conduct the shooting gallery with the planes that, you know, without getting shot down. They'll get shot down. And underground, the Serbs are tough. They're tough as nails. They were the number one resistance against the Nazis in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Tito was a Croatian, most of his warriors, most of his fighters were actually Serbs. They're tough as nails. And this miserable excuse for military is going to try to get in there and couldn't even control a proper evacuation from Afghanistan, and they're going to go in there with generals like Milley in charge. Are you kidding me? And with their best troops already discharged, and this is what's happening. Like I just don't understand. Defund the military, period, until they keep those troops in. Those are our best soldiers. And on top of that, aren't we, we say, well, thank you for your service. Well, obviously, we're not thankful for service. On top of that, over half the people that are locked up in that jail now for nothing, for no reason, without being brought to trial or anything else, most of them are veterans. This country don't care about its veterans. If we did,
no, they don't.
The people wouldn't allow this to happen. They couldn't care less about the veterans. You know? And I'm a veteran myself. I'm not a combat veteran, but I'm a veteran. Okay? I don't kid myself. They couldn't care. If somebody, I'll very seldom say anything that I even serve. But if I do, the right away, well, thank you for, no, don't thank you. Don't thank you. You think you do something to see that, you know, our soldiers didn't get messed over with. You know what I mean? That's how you thank the veterans, okay? Just thank you for service. Just nonsense. That traitor Biden says it all the time about the, you know, God bless our troops. He doesn't mean it. He couldn't care less about those soldiers. The man never did serve. He's a draft dodger during the Vietnam War. So, I mean, you know, these people don't kid anybody. That's one of the biggest scandals. Those troops that are still, I mean, those people that are still locked up in the D.C. jail.
Yeah.
Being tortured, basically, for nothing, for doing nothing, a demonstration.
And it's basically taking a tour of the Capitol building. Anyway, listen, Mark, we're running out of time here. And I got to take some more phone calls. We're going to skip the break here, and we're going to go with James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that reactivity, depending on temperature, comes out of what's called the Arrhenius equation.
Yes.
You jack up the temperature, and your rate constant might go up. But sometimes, if you use enzymes, you can beat it. But life on Mars, there's quite a few elements. I checked the composition. There's quite an abundance of elements, minerals and such like.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that you might run into something that was alive, Also, I was wondering, the gravitational gravity on Mars, is that one-third of Earth's?
Something around there, yes.
Yeah, right. So, it's lower gravity, so that might
Yeah, it's definitely lower gravity.
Okay, I think you have other calls, so I can call back again.
All right, well, that would be just fine here. And let's see, I'm looking, gravity is on Mars is 3.721 meters per second squared. All righty, so anyway, there's a, do you ever remember seeing photos of what were called the Martian blueberries? They were these strange spheres. And some people thought it might be hematite, but hematite that is spherical is made that way here on Earth for jewelry purposes. And Dr. Gilbert Levin said the only natural occurring spherical nodules that we see here on Earth are bacterial colonies. And he was kind of looking forward to the day when somebody would grab one of these blueberries and basically slice it in half and see if it had an internal structure indicating slow growth over time. Anyway, thank you for the call. We're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. That article you posted from the CBC with their manufactured crisis.
Yes.
Would you mind if I read you a comment that's up there right now?
Sure.
It might not be if I refresh. So somebody posted 11 minutes ago when I first called in. What I find amazing is that the state of Uttar Pradesh in India has a population of 241 million. There are 33 districts COVID-free. What gives? Maybe Canada should look at what they've done and try some of the solutions. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
One of the replies is everybody knows what's happening there, except Western governments are in bed with Big Pharma and are locked
yep.
into fulfilling those orders. Even if something safer and more effective is discovered, it's all over the leaked docs from Pfizer or Moderna. Another reply from another account says, shh, the solution is ivermectin. Now, that's about 15 comments down. I'm going to do a refresh, and I'm just going to take a quick boo and see if that comment is still there. Because I've seen those type of comments disappear
mm-hmm.
all the time. And it's sad because it obviously it's working there. Okay, so it's been up there. That comment has now been up there for 12 minutes. So what that person posted was absolutely true. The second, all three of them were absolutely right. Ivermectin is cheap, and like you said yesterday, Pfizer is working on a clone of that, and it's going to
yes.
be very expensive.
Correct.
So they're padding their bottom line at the expense of people's lives all over the world, not just here.
That's exactly it.
All over the world. It is disgusting. It's disgraceful. I called today. When you put that up on your website, I called today four or five different MPs all around the area where I live. Obviously, I never got through to any one of them, but I left messages on every single one of those on every single one of those phones, and I never got a phone call back. And I said the same thing. I said, "Why is this manufactured crisis allowed to be posted on the CBC that my tax dollars are paying for when you and I both know that Henshaw came out and said." Live on TV, that anyone that refuses a PCR test is immediately classified as having COVID-19, padding their numbers,
yes.
and that's in Alberta. And the reason they're doing this is because Kenny, the premier of Alberta, an oil-rich country, is a conservative. And obviously, the woke Mr. Trudeau is not. And that's why they're going after him. So he is using... The federal government is using the people's tax dollars, funneling those tax dollars to the CBC, and then those tax dollars are being used against the people in this country through their crap and through all of this fear-mongering that
they do. Well, the same thing is happening here. I mean, the $3.5 trillion reconciliation budget includes funding for the corporate media, which has lost its audience yep. line to the American people, and they're going to prop them up with our tax dollars. Anyway, Al, I'm going to try and sneak
Mike.
One more phone call in here before the end of the day. Let's go to Don in Naples. Hello, Don. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You're on the air.
Oh, okay, great. Hey, by the way, this wasn't on the list, but a friend from New Jersey with the mask, whatever happened to him? Does he call in anymore?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I miss that guy. Hey, another quick topic was about a week ago or so, you were talking about speeding tickets and things like that. I listened to Jordan Maxwell. I don't know if he's still around, but he said the reason you have to sign for tickets is the law can't make you... Do anything. Oh, we're closing out. I'll have to talk to you another time, I guess.
Yeah, we are. We're at the end of the show. My apologies to those callers waiting on hold. Tomorrow, try and call in a little sooner. We'll get to you. All right, stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is taking the microphone. Spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.